You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
7:45, quarter till 8, Monday morning, December 29th. That means it's time for Bank On It, financial insights you can count on with Jason Shields, the COO of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. How you doing, Jason?
Doing good, Tommy. How are you today?
I am all right, sir. I'm intrigued as to why what's happening in Japan actually matters for U.S. interest rates.
Yeah, so I thought for the last show of the year we would do an interesting topic that's actually somewhat important right now because of some things that are happening in Japan, but it's probably something that not a lot of people realize. Mm-hmm. So for years, Japan has had some of the lowest interest rates in the world, almost zero for decades. And at the same time, the U.S. here, we offered higher yields on things like government bonds and things. And so what that did was that actually created a real powerful incentive for global investors. And one that Japan has slowly started to move away from that ultra low rate world. And that's why it sort of matters with what's going on today. So mm-hmm. There's a thing that's called the yen carry trade, talked about in economics, and it's a complicated sounding thing, but the idea behind it's incredibly simple. So if you're an investor, you would borrow that cheap money in Japan in yen, right? And then you would use it to buy higher yielding assets, say U.S. Treasuries. And what will happen is the spread on that, you're able to basically make free money because Treasuries have low risk, the yen is lower. And as long as you manage that margin and you make sure that you keep up on the currency, it's incredibly low risk earning assets. And what that did, that pumped a whole lot of money into treasury purchases here in the U.S., right? Because people saw that as an easy way to do safe trades that made them a good bit of money. And, you know, as we've talked about in the past, the treasuries are our issuance that allows us to continue to fund here. Mm-hmm. Now, what you could imagine is if Japan was to change their rates and tighten those margins, it could have some impacts on the issuance of those bonds. Are less people buying treasuries? And so why is Japan so low? And Japan's actually fascinating. If anyone's bored over the New Year holiday, go read up on the 1980s Japan crash. Because in the 1980s, Japan had one of the biggest asset bubbles in history. And to this day, economists and financial people study it to understand exactly what happened. But basically, their asset bubble in the 80s was one of the biggest we'd ever seen in the world. There's the stat that people like to throw around, economists, that say the land at the peak, the land underneath Tokyo's Imperial Palace, was valued at more than all of the real estate in California combined. So, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't take a genius to realize that that's a little bit out of whack. Mm-hmm. But that shows you how extreme it was. And when that bubble burst, Japan spent decades at zero interest rates. They actually went negative for a little bit. And while that sounds like a horrible thing, what it did is it allowed investors to inject cash and use it to buy U.S. bonds. And this is something that we've been doing forever. So what does all that mean, right? Right now, Japan recently just raised their rates again to 75%, 75 bips. And what that's done is that's tightened that margin that's out there. Now, it's not a problem, but it is an interesting thing because now that a couple of things could happen here. The yen could get stronger, the cost of borrowing gets stronger, and all of a sudden, all of that cheap money that we used over the years, big institutional borrowers, I'm not talking about you and me, I'm talking about giant banks that would borrow $100 million at a time to buy treasuries, all of a sudden that trade doesn't make as much sense. It's not an alarming thing, but it is an intriguing thing from an economic standpoint because I like to use the example of free shipping, Tommy, right? Like over the holidays, we've all taken it for granted at this point, right? You go to checkout, boom, free shipping, you make the order, no problem. But if you're like me, you go to checkout and all of a sudden you're getting hit with shipping charges, mm-hmm. start to second guess that purchase a little bit, right? Because you're right. Like, okay, well, this doesn't feel as if I'm still getting as good of a deal as I was getting before. And that's what's going to slowly start happening here with the yen carry trade, right? Institutional investors are going to say, okay, This used to really make a whole lot of sense for me. I use this as a method of buying treasuries. And it's not an alarming thing, but it is a trend that we're noticing, that those mm-hmm. if the lowest rates in the world have decided that they want to start ticking up, it probably means those 0% rate days are probably behind us. And it's a good thing from an economic standpoint, but it's an interesting thing that you have to balance, because what happens in Japan does actually affect here. Because if people stop buying treasuries via this trade, now they'll still buy them, but if demand slows, that'll raise yields, and those raised yields could, because you're going to have to pay more on those treasuries for people to want to buy them, that directly impacts mortgage rates. That directly impacts everything. And so I don't want to be an alarmist here, Tommy. I don't want to make everyone think, oh, God, the mortgage rates are going to go up. You're talking about they raised it by 25 basis points. Not a huge number, mm-hmm. but the trend shows us those 0% rates in the 2010s, they're starting to fade away. And so it's an interesting thing. I encourage everyone, if they're interested in it, to go look up the yen carry trade, or perhaps go look at the 1980s Japanese crash, because it's interesting. And it shows that I think a lot of the lessons we learned from that crash helped us during COVID, right? What happens in a time where your economy basically screeches to a halt, mm-hmm. and how quickly you react? Japan took a much more longer approach. They took a longer runway in how they handled the 1980s crash. And we saw that it took decades to recover. The U.S. during COVID, we injected money and we told the economy to get going. And you know, look, that's one of those moments where when you get it right, nobody cares. Mm-hmm. But if we would have got it wrong, we could be sitting in a 30-year slump like Japan. So interesting stuff. That was a fun topic that we would go over.
So I'm trying to figure out how...
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Oh, what was in it for Japan if they had zero interest and people were buying U.S. treasuries? What am I missing here?
Yeah. So look, Japan had the theory has always been, if you bring rates to zero, Tommy, everybody's going to borrow money and they're going to go use it and do stuff. Mm-hmm. But what happened in Japan is their banks had so much bad debt. Their population had hit them so hard. The people of Japan became incredibly debt averse, right? And so, like in America, if I gave you 0% interest rates, free shipping, 2% mortgages, we're going to go out and buy stuff, right? That's what we do. But in Japan, culturally, this hit them so hard, it generationally ruined what people were doing. So Japan just tried everything they could. And what happened was they kept the rates at zero so long, the people of Japan kind of normalized it. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, they just had to keep it there because there was literally no more dry powder that they could do anything with. You can make rates go negative, and they did, mm-hmm. but in essence, they were just kind of held up by foreign people coming and borrowing that money to do stuff. Now, they were still getting paid on that debt. So if you're a bank in Japan, you're still making money on it, but you can't really raise rates raising rates destimulates the economy. They just want to stop spending. And so Japan had to wait for wages and, you know, asset growth to go up before they could start raising rates. They're just starting to see that. So that's, I don't know if that completely explained it for you or not. But
well, no, it does. And when it comes to with our own personal finances, is there anything we can really do as it relates to this?
Yeah, no, everyone asks me, when are we going to get 3% mortgages again, Tommy? I don't see it happening for a while, not the way that things are going. Mortgages are the most popular one that everyone asks about. I always like to say, love the house, live with the rate. You'll eventually get a rate that you like, and you can always refinance out of it. Mm-hmm. But if you're sitting there on the fence and saying, I'm not going to buy a house until I get that 3% mortgage rate, probably not going to happen, right? These things like Japan making these moves and some other things that we're seeing globally, not just locally, are indicating at this point that the 0% interest rate days are gone. And so we're a pretty good normalization of the market, but we'll be steady for a while. And I think that's the important takeaway from this.
Very interesting. Thank you, sir. Interesting and informative as always. Jason Shields, Chief Operating Officer for Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Bank on it. Financial insights you can count on. 7:54 and a half. Time for traffic. WWL.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.